This season's Champions League final will be between Real Madrid and Liverpool after the Spanish side saw off Manchester City in one of the greatest semi-finals of all time.
Benzema, right-footed, strikes it, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, and Real Madrid have turned this semi-final on its head.
That goal in extra time followed two goals after the 90-minute mark in normal time. A compelling, extraordinary night at the Bernabeu. It's Liverpool who await in Paris after a comeback of their own on Tuesday.
Sadio Mane skips past Wanfoyt as well. The open goal is gaping and Sadio Mane will roll it into the corner and surely put Liverpool in Paris.
So it's a repeat of the 2018 final which Real Madrid won. The 2022 showpiece in Paris should be a cracker. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and the Champions League never fails to amaze. Real Madrid were out, now they're in the final. Liverpool had a scare themselves, but both will be at the Stade de France. The European football expert Andy Brassel alongside me for the next 30 minutes or so. The celebrations at the Bernabeu from the Real Madrid players told the story, Andy. What a night for them, and what a week again in the competition. When it comes to the semi-final stage, the Champions League is ridiculous.
It was extraordinary, and this second semi-final, Chris, underlined that Barcelona started something that we didn't know wouldn't finish with La Remontada. And this was another Remontada, an extraordinary night for Real Madrid, but in a competition that has become defined by comebacks in the knockout stages. The UEFA Champions League and Real Madrid have delivered something extraordinary on another level in this occasion. I think what tells you everything is the fact that when they were celebrating on the pitch at the end, when Carlo Ancelotti came on and was embracing his assistants, his staff, he had tears in his eyes. He's always the calmest man in the stadium. He's 62 years old and he's seen it all. He hadn't seen this.
And if you think some of their players have won everything that there is to win, Andy, including this competition, four times many of them, even they could barely believe it as they're walking around the pitch at full time. And you mentioned Ancelotti, now the most successful coach when it comes to taking teams to Champions League finals ever. He too looked a little bit stunned as to what his side had done, given that heading into stoppage time, in normal time, they were heading out and Manchester City were heading through.
They needed two goals in the 90th minute and they managed it. I think Richard underlined it in commentary when he was talking about, you know, it was something towards Manchester United in Barcelona. It's something that we've seen so rarely. But when Real Madrid got that first goal, you just felt the momentum switch instantly and the belief in those players, because they've not just got extraordinary individual quality, Real Madrid. They have got out of these situations again and again and again in the last 6 years.
Well, they celebrated the victory like they had lifted the trophy once more. Richard Kaufman was your commentator for the second leg of Real Madrid against Manchester City. City led 4-3 after a remarkable first leg, and the return didn't disappoint. It was scarcely believable what happened.
Bernardo Silva now bursting forward here for Manchester City. Plays it out to Riyad Mahrez! Left-footed, sweetest of strikes. They've been up against it, but they may have just scored the killer goal.
And Manchester City, it's a bit of a steal. They haven't threatened so much in this second half, but they've been clinical.
Benzema at the far post puts it across and they've got one back. Real Madrid have a lifeline. It's Rodrigo. We're in the 90th minute. Surely Real Madrid can't do this again. Carvajal, can he get the cross in? Yes, he can. They've scored. Rodrigo's done it again. Unbelievable. Two goals in the space of, what, 90 seconds. This is remarkable. Real Madrid,
it's extraordinary. How have they managed this? The ball is absolutely magnificent. from Carvajal. The header's perfect. Just glanced into that far corner. No chance for Ederson.
Rodrigo plays it across the edge of the area. Benzema goes down. Referee says penalty. It's a penalty to Real Madrid. Benzema, right-footed, strikes it, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. And Real Madrid have turned this semi-final on its head. Karim Benzema goes and celebrates with the Real Madrid fans. They can't believe it. What an extraordinary night in the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu. The referee looks at his watch and he blows the whistle. And Real Madrid are into the UEFA Champions League final against all the odds. Celebrations, pandemonium. What a night for the most trophy-laden team in European football.
So Real Madrid, 3-1 winners on the night to progress. 6-5 on aggregate. Riyad Mahrez's goal after 73 minutes had City on their way to the final, but those two headers from Rodrigo in the space of about a minute forced extra time, and then Karim Benzema won it from the penalty spot. Richard Kaufman has got his breath back just about and joins us now. I mean, they were obviously confident because they strolled around the pitch at the end with special tops on saying Apollo 14. So they were clearly already dreaming of Paris, but it looked impossible as we went into added on time.
It did. And, you know, we're sat here trying to give some perspective to something that for us has just happened. I'm trying to think of things to put it in perspective. I'm thinking of I sat here for UEFA.com commentating on match day two, and I can't remember what game I was doing, but the same night Sheriff Tiraspol were playing Real Madrid at this stadium,
yeah,
and won by 2-1. Yet that team that lost that night are through to the final. The team that looked like they were being battered in Manchester 8 days ago, that mm-hmm. were 2-0 down, should have been 3-0 down, 4-0 down, you know, did well to limit Manchester City to 4 goals, but still came away with a 1-goal deficit, kept themselves in the tie. The team that were 2 goals behind in the overall tie into the 90th minute of the second leg have somehow got themselves through to the final. And it, you know, sport, football as it is tonight, just throws in unpredictable, unscripted, complete melodramatic storylines that you just can't predict, and that's why we love it so much. That's why I'm so excited in my voice when I'm commentating there. It's disbelief, it's exuberation, it's excitement. Goodness knows how the Real Madrid fans and players feel about it all, but it was a remarkable turnaround. But they've done it before, and they may well do it again. Who knows what will happen in the final against Liverpool, but for now they can savour a much deserved celebration tonight for their remarkable resilience and belief. Really
beautifully put. It is the best sport in the world, football, and tonight has further proven why. Certainly in my mind. We'll dissect exactly how they did it in a moment, but Andy, third round in a row that Real Madrid were heading out. In the last 16, they were 2-0 on aggregate down against Paris Saint-Germain, and then Benzema scored that hat-trick in the space of 17 minutes against Chelsea in the quarterfinals. They were heading out, and then they scored twice late to go through. And then against Manchester City, they were heading out even later, and they scored 2 goals again in double quick time. Cannot be a coincidence that this group of players keep on coming back like this.
No, I wonder if Paris Saint-Germain's players, Chelsea's and Manchester City's might all get in one enormous WhatsApp group and say, what happened? What happened? Because I think all three of those teams will think they had the lion's share of yeah. those two games. I think what was a little different tonight is that Real Madrid will have got to the point where they conceded that goal to Riyad Mahrez and thought they were victims of a bit of an injustice. I thought that was certainly their best home performance of the knockout rounds. And then they go 1-0 down against the run of play. And at that point, it looks like the air's been let out of their tyres. You know, at that point, Manchester City have it all under control. As Richard and I were saying in commentary, those two saves in short succession from Jack Grealish after he come on, the first off the line from Edouard Mendy after Courtois was beaten, and the second one, just with the studs of Courtois' left boot, initially it looked like Grealish had narrowly missed it, but no, it was on target, and it was a tremendous save by Courtois, who made actually a couple of vital saves. He will not be thought of as the hero of this game, but he did so much to make it possible. The best goalkeeper in the world at the moment, no doubt about it. And then they were able to come back, and almost it had the feel of a consolation goal. The first Rodrigo goal. But then straight away they sensed, this is us, we do this, we're Real Madrid, we do this. And they made it inevitable.
He was the official UEFA player of the match in the end, Thibaut Courtois. He came up with some other big moments after they had ultimately scored what turned out to be the match-winning penalty in added time. Just because you mentioned it there, there's so much talk about Real Madrid's history in this competition, but in those moments there that they get one back, you can't put your finger on exactly what it is, but you can sense it, right? Around the stadium, amongst the players, they're like, right, well, this is the time now that we go and score another goal. And I don't see that in other teams as often as I see it in Real Madrid.
If you try to sort of dissect it in a logical way, it would make no sense at all.
Yeah, don't try that this evening, please.
But you're right. There's like, it's like an aura, a mystique. There's something about Real Madrid and this competition. And history shouldn't matter, should it?
No.
It shouldn't make an iota of a difference. But it seems to do so. I mean, you were talking, Andy, in the build-up to this game. We're not even talking about this season. You know, when they were winning the three in a row, the way they went to win the trophy on a few of those occasions as well, they looked like a team that weren't going to make it over the finishing line and lifting the trophy at the end of it. But somehow they get it done. And, yeah, you're right, Chris. It doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, it feeds through to the players. It feeds through to the crowd. And somehow that mentality feeds through to victories.
But that continuity is not just about club history, is it? If you go back to the first team that won it under Zidane in 2016, there are a lot of similar players. A lot of the players are still there. And in previous incarnations of Real Madrid throughout their history, that wouldn't have happened. The fact is, they're doing a €500 million revamp of their stadium, which is still not quite complete. Simon Hart very eloquently told us about that earlier, UEFA.com's reporter. They've been shedding some big contracts as well. And they've had the luxury of retaining this status quo because on a night like this, it underlines not just do they have players of outstanding ability, they have players of outstanding mentality. These players are beyond belief, beyond elite. We talked about this before the start of the show. Which team would you rather have? And it's really tight because Manchester City have been brilliant in recent years. You know, they've brought so much to English football, they've brought so much to European football. But these guys are the ultimate, these Real Madrid players, as far as winners go.
Can I also, whilst absolutely agreeing with that, Carlo Ancelotti this season has spoken a lot about his youngsters on the bench who tend to come on. And once again, Rodrigo with his two goals after the 90-minute mark. The first time that's ever happened that we've had two goals so late in a knockout stage match. And also Eduardo Camavinga. Once more, Carlo Ancelotti, substitute-wise, got it absolutely spot on, didn't he? And those...
Yeah.
Those experienced players who started the game, and indeed Karim Benzema, who got the winner, most certainly played their part, but so did this young group who are evolving perhaps to be the next Real Madrid heroes.
Yeah, well, Vinicius on one side, Rodrigo on the other, Camavinga in the middle. You're right, you're seeing the base of a team that, you know, can come through and play for many years. I think we have to remember, I mean, I do feel a little bit for Manchester City in some way, because I felt they were so good in so much of this two-legged affair, particularly in the first leg. But ultimately, they weren't clinical enough maybe in that first leg to maybe have got the job done there and then. And they paid the price. But, you know, when Riyad Mahrez swings his left boot at that shot on, what, 73 minutes or whatever it was, and puts them two up overall, you thought that would be potentially the killer blow. But there you go.
I think really, over the course of the tie, Manchester City just defensively weren't good enough. Not just in the three goals in the first leg, but tonight, Real Madrid had lots of clear chances. And, you know, that their finishing wasn't good up until the very, very end. Because Benzema missed a couple of chances you'd expect him to take. Vinicius missed a couple of chances you'd expect him to take, not least that one, the best chance of the whole game, really, the simplest chance of the whole game, that he missed right in the opening seconds of the second half. And that's why, at the end of the game, despite it being Real Madrid, despite Real Madrid having done it so many times before, that's why it came as a surprise. Because it was against the momentum of the game, and because they'd frittered away so many chances. But we talked about it in commentary. You know, there was that dialogue between Diaz and Laporte for a lot of the first half, and at half time, Kyle Walker and other defenders. And then you had, really, for that equalising goal, it's a great crossfield pass by Camavinga. It's absolutely magnificent. He was great when he came on. But Benzema peels away and Cancelo just lets him. I think that is what Manchester City will regret most about this tie.
Just one other thing to bring up, and I know it's kind of domestic as opposed to European, but you do wonder what this will do for the end of the season. Liverpool have a potential quadruple to play for. Of course, they've got to see off Real Madrid in the final, and no one's going to make any assumptions about that. But you do wonder how mentally this might affect Manchester City now for the remaining four games of the English Premier League season as well. So a lot of repercussions that come out of this match as well.
OK, let's hear from Pep Guardiola.
We were close. We were close, and but yeah, at the end we could not reach it. The first half we didn't have game. We were not good enough, but we didn't suffer much. Yeah. And after the goal, when we scored a goal, is when we were better. We found our tempo, our game. The players were comfortable on the pitch, and apparently it's not like we say last 10 minutes they attack and attack and you suffer. It didn't happen. In that moment, you can say, okay, there were 10, 15 minutes completely attack and attack. We could not survive. It's not the case. And they put a lot of players in the box with Militao, with Rodrigo, with Vinicius, with Benzema, with Asensio, all of them crosses, and they scored two goals.
Sixth semi-final elimination for Pep Guardiola, but Carlo Ancelotti has reached his fifth Champions League final. 2003, 2005 and 2007 with Milan. 2014 and now 2022 with Real Madrid, the most of any manager in the competition's history. Extraordinary from Carlo Ancelotti. So our two finalists are confirmed. Saturday, the 28th of May, put it in your diary. Full match commentary, a 9 p.m. CEST kickoff from Paris. It's the 2022 Champions League final.
Benzema has
his save in this second leg.
He slides it through for Luis Diaz, who goes round the goalkeeper and scores!
The open goal is gaping and Sadio Mane will roll it into the corner and surely put Liverpool in Paris.
And Real Madrid have turned this semi-final on its head. Karim Benzema goes and celebrates with the Real Madrid fans. They can't believe it. What an extraordinary night in the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu.
Oh, that has got me in the mood. Mo Salah, after helping Liverpool beat Villarreal on Tuesday, said that he would like it to be Real Madrid, perhaps so he could right a few wrongs of 2018 when Liverpool met Madrid in Kyiv, and of course Real Madrid came out on top. You heard Gareth Bale's goal commentary in that mix, that incredible overhead kick. He got two, Benzema got one, Mane scored to briefly make it 1-1. That was a good final. And Andy Brassel, I mean, it's 2.5 weeks away from recording. It has all the hallmarks of being brilliant, does it? Again, I imagine people will think that Liverpool will be favourites, but as we've seen, I mean, seriously, never ever write Real Madrid off, anybody, after what we've witnessed this evening.
It's not possible.
It's not possible.
I think it has all the hallmarks of being longer than 90 minutes,
yeah.
To be honest, Chris. I think we're going to get our money's worth and we might have a late night in Paris, which, you know, none of us would say no to an extra 30 minutes of UEFA Champions League football after what has been and what is continuing to be an absolutely incredible season.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to give superlatives and you know, recency bias and all that, but it really is. I mean, the matches, the quality of play, the speed at which it's being played, the skill, the players that we're seeing watch, they just take it to another level. It really is, it's fantastic. And we talk about the magic in this competition for Real Madrid. Liverpool have that kind of aura, yeah. As well. So we've got two teams of similar ilk there. It's going to be a mouthwatering prospect. Real Madrid, well, they've got 4 weeks or 4 games left of the season where they don't have to worry domestically because the title's already done and dusted earlier than it's been done for many a year. Whereas Liverpool have a different build-up. They've got a cup final and they've got a Premier League campaign to deal with, that, you know, to try and tick off another two trophies before they try and potentially win a fourth.
Yeah, I mean, 6 games away from the quadruple and therefore football and immortality. Celtic did do it in the 1960s when they lifted this trophy, the Lisbon Lions, but in the modern era, no one has won 4 trophies in the same season. Who knows, by the time we get to the final, that might not be possible. They might only be looking for their second trophy. But I think what Richard said there is really important. So Real Madrid are hoping to win it for a 14th time. Liverpool are hoping to win it for a 7th time.
Which would bring them level with Milan,
right? With Milan.
Yeah.
In terms of Liverpool within England view themselves as the kings of the European Cup, quite rightly so. But Real Madrid worldwide consider themselves kind of this competition is their own, which only adds a little bit of intrigue, I think. And as you mentioned, that word aura, they will both head to Paris, both kind of thinking, well, yeah, we're back where we rightly belong and we're going to win it again.
Yeah, and I think to go back to Richard's point about rest and recuperation, of course, that's so important at this point in the season. But it's a fine balance, isn't it, between being able to take a breath, being able to regenerate and staying sharp. And, you know, these two teams are going to be at both extremes, really. I think back to 2019 and Liverpool winning it in Madrid. And they were able to have, what, over a week's R&R before they had the Champions League final due to the scheduling. Jurgen Klopp sent them all off on holiday. Actually gave quite a rusty performance in the final. They had that fast start with the Mo Salah penalty. But actually after that, you know, it's easy to forget, I think the UEFA man of the match that night was Alisson, wasn't it? And, you know, Tottenham were not at their absolute best on that occasion as well. So, you know, Carlo Ancelotti's seen it all. And I'm sure he'll have something in mind. But it's a balance for him to strike.
As you mentioned Ancelotti, my mind suddenly realised that, of course, he has met Liverpool in two finals. 1-1 in 2007 with Milan, but was also in charge in the miracle of Istanbul, where no one can quite explain what happened, and his team were beaten by Rafa Benitez in that extraordinary comeback. So there's another little narrative which I'm sure he will be asked
and
about.
And it still sticks in his mind. It
does.
He's talked about it a couple of times this season.
Yep.
I don't think there's a season goes by when he doesn't talk about
it. Well, I mean, he's almost channeled Istanbul in some of Real Madrid's performances to get to the final.
Well, right? Of course, Real Madrid have had such a long lead at the top of La Liga for such a long time this season before they finally clinched the domestic title for the 35th time at the weekend. And Ancelotti was asked a couple of weeks ago, how can you... You know, it's not possible, is it, for you to blow this lead with this long left in the season? He said, well, it's not possible to blow a 3-0 lead in the Champions League final, but we did it. So it was quite a very Ancelotti-esque way of approaching it with sanguine and a bit of a step back. But, you know, for that reason, I'm sure this will make him as prepared as he's ever been.
Well, let's hear from the man who will... Injury aside, being goal for Real Madrid in the Champions League final, Thibaut Courtois.
It's incredible, really. I think today I could make more saves than last week. They maybe didn't finish their chances as well. We also didn't. I think I think Ederson only had to make one big save in the end, I think. So, but we still believed even when they were down. We were down 0-1, I think. We knew one goal could put us back in the game, and it didn't fail. I think from minute 80 to 89, we were nowhere. I think we couldn't find the midfield. It was hard. And then suddenly this one goal comes, and suddenly, boom.
Thibaut Courtois there. He almost sounded a bit shocked at the end, I think. But he's seen it before this season on this run. And he, in talking about the final, and he was very busy in both legs against Manchester City, he would expect Richard, given Liverpool's attacking prowess, that he's going to have another very big night if Real Madrid are to ultimately come out on top this season.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the save... there was two saves he made tonight from Jack Grealish around the 87th, 88th minute, which didn't seem to be of any great significance because...
I know.
Because we didn't know what was coming next. And then he made a terrific save as well in extra time when Phil Foden got a header and it just couldn't be followed in by Fernandinho. Thibaut Courtois was described by Andy as the best goalkeeper in the world right now. And it is hard to dispute that. It's difficult to know with a goalkeeper. It also depends on the defence in front of you. But remember, this is a Real Madrid defence that was missing, we thought, a key player in David Alaba, but... Mm. You know, they defended very well tonight, and they were helped very much by Casemiro being back in central midfield. But Courtois will have a key role to play, but then so will Benzema, so will Modric, so will Casemiro, and on and on and on. You know, you're going to play a great team performance if you're going to win, you know, the biggest trophy of them all.
Let's speak about Benzema then, who scored the winner from the penalty spot to move level with Robert Lewandowski on the all-time Champions League goal-scoring list. Only Messi and Ronaldo ahead of those two, both on 86 goals now. I think you mentioned in commentary that could potentially break the goal-scoring record if he has a very good night for the season. It almost feels written in the stars that he is going to do something in the final, given the way he has played along the way.
And I think when Richard was talking about rest, he's the player who's going to benefit the most from it. You know, he's been through it this season. You know, he's not a young man anymore. He looks after his body incredibly well. He's changed his body for the advantage of his game in recent years as well. But to see him back in France at his absolute best, I think will be a highlight for football fans all over the world. And, you know, he's such an all-round fantastic player. He circumvents the need to play well, really. Without Real Madrid playing well, well, they've shown in every round that they can still win. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, I actually got the privilege of commentating on Benzema when he was breaking through as a 17-year-old at Lyon. I was commentating on Ligue 1 at the time. And I was so excited by this talent. And it's been just a pleasure to watch him go through his career. And, you know, he had to play second fiddle to Cristiano Ronaldo, played that role brilliantly. Now he's kind of the offensive leader of this team, and he plays that brilliantly too.
He does, and he is heading to the 2022 Champions League final with Real Madrid to meet Liverpool on Saturday, the 28th of May. Andy, Richard, thank you very much for your company. It was an extraordinary Wednesday after a brilliant Tuesday. The semi-final second legs did not disappointment. We will be back on the 28th of May from 8 p.m. CEST, an hour of build-up and then full uninterrupted commentary of Liverpool against Real Madrid. The final is upon us and we cannot wait.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.